Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on the 6th day of August, 2019. And I'm delighted to have back on the program a returning guest who I love to interview, and he also happens to be involved with one of our key sponsors here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm speaking of Dr. James M. Renahan, who is President and Professor of Historical Theology at the IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. Today we are going to be addressing the theme, Preaching the Psalms in a Christian Congregation. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. James M. Renahan.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you today.
It's great to have you back. And why don't you tell our listeners who are discovering you for the first time about IRBS Theological Seminary?
Sure. For 20 years, we were the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary in Southern California, and about a year ago, we moved here to Texas to begin our own school, renamed IRBS Theological Seminary. The IRBS doesn't stand for anything anymore. It's sort of like FedEx or IBM. It's just an acronym that ties us to the past but gives us a new identity. And we're here primarily to train men for the gospel ministry. We're very pleased with what the Lord has done, and we're looking forward to training men and seeing them go out and pastor churches.
Praise God. And if anybody wants to do some further investigation about IRBS Theological Seminary, you can go to their website, which is very easy to remember. It's irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org. And don't forget, there's two S's in the middle. Very often when there's letters back-to-back like that, people leave one of them out when it's in a website. So it's irbsseminary.org. And before we even go into our topic at hand, why don't you just perhaps list some things that men of God should be looking for in themselves, character traits, qualities, and gifts that may be very strong signs that God is calling them into the ministry?
That's a good question. Let me begin by recommending a book that the Banner of Truth published by an author named Alan Harmon called Call to the Ministry. It's very, very helpful. We have given out copies to young men. I think it's especially useful in the lives of young men. But, you know, the call to the ministry involves two things, the inward call and the outward call. There needs to be something within a man that makes him desire to be a servant to the Lord and to spread the gospel to other people and to help Christians to grow in their faith. Oftentimes I find that when a young man has that desire and, in a sense, is afraid of it, that's a good thing because that demonstrates a level of humility. It's a young man who's confident that he's the one that's going to be the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that typically isn't, and that's not a good thing. But the inward call, there's a lot of overconfident men who think, if I just had the opportunity, everything would work. And usually they're the ones who are not called. They've convinced themselves of it, and that's a bad thing. Where the young man who comes to me and says, I have this desire, but I'm not sure that that I have, that I'm qualified. I usually think you're probably the guy that the Lord is going to bless. So I encourage those men to think about the call for the ministry. The other call is the recognition of the church. There needs to be in them a church body, group of elders who are able to examine his gifts and the grace of God, the progress of the grace of God in his life. And if they are in agreement that that man, that they see at least the basic gifts of grace and of the ability to edify God's people, then probably he should continue to think about the gospel ministry. So those two things need to come together in the life of the man.
Great. Well, I am praying that more and more of my listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience receive that call from God, and that it is very clear, and that they are confident that they are truly hearing from God and not their own egos. And I hope to hear good reports over the years to come that that is happening. And I have in the past had heard from some men in the listening audience who entered into the ministry and so forth. And that's always a joy to hear about as well. Are there any special events that our listeners should be aware of that the IRBS Theological Seminary is conducting?
Well, yeah. We're talking today about the Psalms. And that's because in a couple of weeks we'll be teaching a course on the Psalms with that title, Preaching the Psalms in a Christian Congregation. It will be live streamed, and we are offering a listener's pass to those who register for a relatively small fee and making it available. We know of one church or one pastor who is collecting together a group of men, and they're actually going on a mini retreat. And they will all watch together the lectures from this course. So that's coming up soon. I have been immersed in my study of the Psalms in preparation for that course, looking forward to it. In early September, we have our opening convocation for the new school year. It will be a much more low-key event than the one that we had last year, but that will be in early September. And then we have some other things that we're working on that will be exciting if the Lord opens the door for us to bring them together. But those are still on the back burner, so we're not quite ready to talk about them yet.
Well, praise God. And don't forget, if you want more information on those things, go to irbsseminary.org. Well, the specific way that you titled today's discussion is Preaching the Psalms in a Christian Congregation. And some people might think that for a Christian radio topic, that's a kind of a redundant thing to call a subject. But why would you emphasize that in a title about preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's actually where I will begin my lectures. I want to expound the title itself. Of course, preaching is the focus of the class. Not to say that singing the Psalms, for example, or praying the Psalms were unimportant, but the focus of the class will be on preaching. The second thing, the Christian congregation aspect of it is important, because I believe, and I think that scholarship, especially evangelical and reformed scholarship, recognizes that there is a way that the Psalms need to be read and understood in light of the New Testament and Jesus Christ our Lord, who comes in fulfillment of many of the Psalms, so that the charge can't be made of us when we preach the Psalms that they could be preached as well in a synagogue as well as in a Christian church. And sometimes that's the way that they might be preached. Now, that's not to criticize a rabbi who preaches it in a synagogue, but it's to say the event of the incarnation of Christ, his life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven, sheds a light upon the Psalms. And so the audience that we're preaching to are those who have come to faith in Christ, or who need to hear the gospel and come to faith in Christ, and they need to see the Psalms in that light. And so that's the emphasis of the phrase, preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation.
Now, what makes the Psalms different than other parts of the scripture. I know that they were written to be set to music, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the word psalm actually means that it is music or songs to be accompanied by the harp. I think that may be the root, but you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Well, the Hebrew word that's translated as psalm simply means praise.
Okay.
Yeah, it simply means that. And certainly some of the psalms, it seems, were to be set to music and to be sung in the worship of Old Testament Israel. But that's probably not the case with all of them. There are differences of opinion. Some of them are public psalms. Some of them seem to be private and individual psalms. So I'm not sure that we can say in a blanket kind of way that all of the psalms were intended for that specific purpose. Now, what was the beginning of your question? Because I had something else in my mind that I wanted to say.
Oh, I was asking what is unique about them.
Now,
did you just say, I may have misunderstood you, did you just say that not all the psalms were intended to be sung, or they weren't all intended to be sung in corporate worship?
Well, they weren't all written for corporate worship, let's put it that way. Some of them are certainly the expressions of individuals, Psalm 51 being an example. First and foremost, that David's psalm of confession for his sin. That's not to say that it can't be or shouldn't be sung in a Christian congregation. It didn't even imply that. But the primary focus of that psalm when it was written was for David to be able to confess his sin before the Lord. That's the point.
But was it written as a song by David? It confession before the Lord, in other words, in those words? Was he singing those words?
I don't know. I don't know if he was.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
the
basic question then was, what makes the Psalms unique set apart in comparison to other forms of Scripture?
Yeah, that's a good question, I think. First off, they're unique because they're poetry. And there are certain rules about reading poetry that the preacher needs to think through. When you and I were kids, way back when, in the last century when the dinosaurs were still alive, we had to memorize poetry when we were in grammar school. I can probably still recite The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, or the first lines of Hiawatha, or some of this epic poetry. We had to do that. But today, our culture today has gotten away from classic poetry and what it means. And I think that becomes a barrier to a lot of people when they read the Psalms. They're not able to enter into the figurative language that is often employed. They don't understand perhaps the fact that there are dialogues that go on between different individuals in certain Psalms. And it's not... When you read a prose dialogue, it might say, Chris said, da 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 da, and then his guest on the radio responded by, and then Chris replied. So you have the indicators, where in poetry that's not always the case, and in certain psalms we ask the question, who is speaking at this time in this psalm? The preacher needs to think through things like that. So the first thing that makes them fairly unique is that they're all poetry from beginning to end. Another thing that makes them unique is that they cover almost the entire period of the Old Testament. It's about 1,000 years from Psalm 90, which almost certainly is the earliest of the Psalms, the Psalm of Moses, the man of God, through to maybe Psalm 137 or one of the others, which are certainly written after Israel returns from exile in Babylon. That's a period of about 1,000 years, and that's almost the entire span of the Old Testament being written, from Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, almost up to the last prophets that we have in the New Testament. So the Psalms reflect a godly perspective on the entirety of the history of Israel. They give us some insight into the believing religious life of God's people over that whole span. Now, I was trying to conceptualize this in my mind, and I The other day, I was watching the news, and I saw what I think they call a heat map, where there was the United States, there was a certain topic, and they were projecting onto this map where in the United States people were commenting on this particular topic. It was kind of interesting to look at and see that in Texas there was a lot of discussion, and on the West Coast there was some discussion, and there was some up in the Northeast, but there wasn't so much in the Midwest. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, if we were able to do that with the Book of Psalms and overlay them over the history of the Old Testament, it would range from the time of Moses all the way up to the post-exilic era. Certainly, the greatest concentration is during the time of David, but that's not the only concentration that would be present. So it gives us another way of experiencing the truth of the Old Testament, this time by thinking through God and his relationship to the world by means of praise and the other elements that are present in the Psalms. And so, thinking through a text like 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul's thinking of the Psalms there. You think of all of the Old Testament, but included are the Psalms. So preaching through the Psalms gives us an opportunity to think through the believing life, the responses that the people of God have to the heights and the depths of the history of Israel and God's dealing with his people throughout that period of time. A third thing that's unique about the Psalms is that there are probably more citations from the Book of Psalms as a whole in the New Testament than any other Old Testament book, which makes it very important for all of the apostolic books that we spend our time with. They were looking to the Book of Psalms and thinking through what the Book of Psalms teaches as they wrote their various books, whether it's the report of Jesus and his interactions with people in the Gospels, or if Paul or the other apostles who are giving to us teaching about what the new covenant is. We see the Book of Psalms in the background there all the time. So that makes it very important, as well as a primary source for the theology of the New Testament.
And let me repeat our email address if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Jim Renahan about the Psalms and preaching the Psalms in corporate worship. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. When we have our pastor or visiting evangelist preaching through the Psalms to the congregation, if it is done in an expository way where perhaps every week there is a different psalm or a different part of a psalm addressed, do you think that a sermon when we are addressing the Psalms, or perhaps even any part of the Hebrew scriptures, that we should be incorporating the New Testament as well in the ministry of the word from the pulpits of our churches?
Another good question. I think that, there are two ends to that discussion, two polar opposites. You had Martin Luther, who wanted to see Christ everywhere in the Psalms. And you had John Calvin, who was very reluctant to see Christ in the Psalms. In fact, there were Lutherans who accused Calvin of being a Judaizer because he so seldom was willing to interpret a psalm in the light of Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, so you have these two very different ends of the spectrum in coming to interpret and to preach the Book of Psalms. I think that perhaps I lean toward the Luther side rather than the Calvin side in my own thinking. Not that every verse or perhaps even every psalm is directly related to Christ, but I think that it is important for us to recognize the relationship that, the organic relationship that exists between the Book of Psalms and the New Testament. You know, Mark Furtado, in his book Interpreting the Psalms, an Exegetical Handbook, has a really helpful, brief section, but a helpful section that speaks about Christ and the Psalms. And he goes to a place like Hebrews chapter 5, which talks about Christ's prayers. He prayed to God. Or Hebrews chapter 2, which speaks about him, it actually quotes Psalm 22 and talks about him singing with us in the midst of the congregation. And I think he shows us how helpful or how much the Psalms penetrated into the life of Christ. Richard Belcher has a book, what's it called here? I think it's called The Messiah and the Psalms. Yeah, there it is. Richard P. Belcher, Jr. He likewise leans more towards the Luther than the Calvin position at this point. And I think he's right in doing so, that we do need to see them in light of the New Testament. So I would argue that we need to treat the psalm with respect and integrity in terms of its original situation, so far as we're able to determine that, but recognize, too, that it is a pointer to the New Testament. We need to ask the question, how does the New Testament use this psalm, if it does? We need to treat the New Testament's use of the psalm as a definitive interpretation of that, at least portion of the psalm, because our doctrine of inspiration requires that. If an apostle looks back on the psalm and he uses it to support his case, then that has to be how we would view that psalm. So I don't think that we can cut them off from the New Testament. I think we need to see them in the light of the New Testament. We need to draw the connections that are explicit in the New Testament. But we always need to think about our Lord Jesus and preach for his glory, preach the gospel from the Psalms. Let's put it that way.
And we have, let's see here, we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, should we ever not imitate a psalmist's cry to the Lord? Sometimes it seems that the psalmists are arguing or venting their anger with God. Is this ever appropriate for a New Covenant Christian?
That's a great question. And you'll find that many commentators struggle with that question. It really is an appropriate one. Arnie, thanks for asking it. You know, someone has said that sometimes the Psalms are very daring, and they say things to God that perhaps we ourselves would be reluctant to say to God. They say things like, why are you sleeping? Why don't you wake up? Why don't you hear me? Why don't you answer me? They express a kind of deep frustration that is present in the heart of the believer. And it may be difficult for us to get to the point where we are able to say those things, but certainly the experience of New Covenant believers may reflect the experience of Old Covenant believers and bring us to the place where we ought to cry out in terms such as that. I can remember years and years ago, a fellow, a dearly beloved man, you probably knew him as well as I did, or maybe better than I did, and he went through an experience that some people were calling a Job kind of experience. He had a very serious illness. There were some difficulties in his family. I think one of his children was in a serious automobile accident. All of these things came together at once. And people would look at him and his life from the outside. He ended up dying from his illness. People looked from the outside and said, that's an experience like Job had in his book. Well, that man, you know, the cry to God, why are you sleeping, is a cry of faith. Yeah, because it's crying to God. It's seeking him. It's asking him to come into help. It's saying, Lord, I have nowhere else to turn. I'm in despair. I need your help. But I know that you are a God of grace and a God of kindness. Would you come to me and help me? So I think that that's why it's good for congregations to read through all of the Psalms, to make their people aware of the Psalms. And I do think that there are times when, even in our own private devotions before the Lord, it's right for us to pray these kinds of prayers. Now, I've spent all of this year, my personal Bible reading has been in the Psalms. I had laid out for myself a plan to read through the book of Psalms slowly, and then the book of Proverbs, and then read the New Testament slowly in the second half of the year. And then when it was decided that I'd be teaching this course on the Psalms, I changed that. And after I finished my first course through the Psalms, now I've been reading them through, I set out a plan for myself to read them through much more rapidly. And both times I found them to be a tremendous blessing to my soul, not only the Psalms of praise, but also the Psalms of struggle. They give me a sense of reality in the Christian life. I think Arnie is, it's a good question, but I would say yes, there does come a time for that. Someone else has said that there's more lament in the Psalms than there is praise, or you know, exuberant, joyful praise. That's a really good and helpful observation. The life of faith is a life of struggle, it's a life of difficulty, and the Psalms will help us to be able to express those things in inspired language.
And we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody else wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. But don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Jim Renahan and the preaching of the Psalms in a Christian congregation.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Kosti Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Kosti has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dr. Jim Renahan, President and Professor of Historical Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. We're discussing preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation. And our email address, if you want to join us on the air, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. Dr. Renahan, do you think that the Psalms can give we who are Reformed a subtle rebuke who have an occasion to be sometimes emotionless in our approach to God? I know that this is a caricature that is not always true, and people broad brush us this way, but I know this certainly does exist among us.
That probably deserves a very simple answer, yes. It's an insightful question, but yes, the Psalms need to be understood in several different ways, and one of them is they must be read recognizing the emotion that is present by the inspiration of the Spirit of God in the heart and in the expression of the writer of that psalm. And it's good for us to seek to enter into that emotion, whatever it may happen to be. You know, if it's Psalm 88, that's the darkest of all of the Psalms, we need to be able to see that the psalmist there is struggling profoundly. But when we come to the last five Psalms, 146 through 150, I heard someone once say it's like the grand finale of fireworks of praise. It's unsullied joy. That's what those psalms are. And if we read them or sing them without that kind of joy, we miss the point that they're trying to present to us. So the Psalms cover the whole range of human emotions, and we ought to be able to enter into them, sing them, pray them, and participate in them, whether sorrow or joy or all the rest in between.
Thank you, Susan Margaret. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks something that I guess is sort of a similar question, not entirely the same. RJ asks, aren't the Psalms a wonderful springboard to other passages of Scripture that lead us to focus on the whole counsel of God because of the varying Psalms that exist in the Old Covenant and the different emotions that are expressed and the different circumstances, whether they are praise and joy or whether they are sorrow and grief or everything in between? They seem to springboard into many other truths, even in the New Testament, where we are forced to cover the whole counsel of God if we were to go consistently in an expository way through the Psalms.
Yes, that's exactly right. I agree completely with RJ, especially because of the fact that they cover a thousand-year period and effectively summarize for us in one way the entire experience of the people of God in the Old Testament, from despair to delight. And that's the emotion of the Psalms. We could also approach the Psalms in terms of doctrine and recognize that everything that we need doctrinally is present in the Psalms as well. So, great question. Simple answer, yes, they are a wonderful springboard that can be used, and that's part of the idea of preaching them in a Christian congregation, is using them, showing the people of God how they benefit us. You know, one of the things I try to teach young men is that the method that they use to preach should be perhaps unspoken, but it's the method that they are teaching their people how to read the Bible. And so when the Psalms become a springboard for emotion, sanctified emotion, or Christian doctrine, or a sense of the purpose of God in a variety of ways, that's helping God's people to read the Bible in its relationship to itself, its interrelationship between other parts of the Old Testament and with the New Testament as well.
If you could, perhaps highlight some of the Psalms that are the most meaningful to you. Obviously, all of the Psalms and all of God's Word are God-breathed. They come to us directly from the mind and lips of God, and are even though he uses human instruments to human instruments to write, inscripturate his word, it is still his word. And so we have to be careful perhaps not to play favorites too much when we read the Bible, but at the same time there are texts that become precious to us. So do you have any favorite Psalms that you care to highlight and tell us why they are so precious to you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I anticipated that you'd ask me that question. and I couldn't come up with a specific answer. I thought about it, Chris. You and I have not talked. We have not strategized on this interview.
No.
But I figured that I would be asked that question. So I would, you know, try to think through how would I respond if that were given to me. And I guess I don't have specific Psalms necessarily. I've come to love them all and really appreciate them very much. If you put a gun to my head, which I know you won't do, and force me to choose some, I think Psalm 8, especially because of the way that Psalm 8 appears in the book of Hebrews. I would say that the book of Hebrews is probably my favorite New Testament book. And so the Psalms that are present in the book of Hebrews, I've begun to, not just begun, but for a long time I've had a special interest in Psalm 8, Psalm 110, Psalm 95, those Psalms. But if I say those things, I don't want to give the impression that somehow they're my favorites, because I really do love the entirety of the Psalms. I have an interest in the Psalms of Asaph, which is Psalm 50 and then Psalm 73 through 83. I frequently find myself going back to them and reading them and trying to think through Asaph and his experience and what he did. I find the Songs of Ascent also really interesting, and I frequently enjoy, especially my reading of the Songs of Ascent. So that's probably not the answer that you expected, brother, but that's an honest answer from me.
I think the psalm that I repeat more often to people, probably in one reason that the horrific, hellish, satanic sin of infanticide is so prevalent in our day. Psalm 139 seems to come up a lot when I'm speaking with people. There are some who very naively or even just ignorantly don't even realize that the scriptures condemn such a thing as abortion. But if you could even comment anything about Psalm 139 that our listeners might not be familiar with.
Yeah, Psalm 139 is one of the psalms that I frequently preach. Psalm 15 regularly gets preached by me, a couple of others, and then Psalm 139 is probably the most recent psalm that I have preached from. It is an important psalm because it does speak to us from David about God's presence and his care and concern for us. It's a psalm that goes back and forth between comfort, but also it includes some statements of condemnation of the wicked. It sort of is almost a microcosm of the whole book of Psalms. But I understand your point. Verse 13, you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. Certainly the Lord knows all of the children, all of the babies that are developing in wombs and cares for them and is concerned for them. And the psalm calls us to stand up for them and watch over them and protect them. It sort of leads me to a bigger theme that you find in the psalms, and that is that there is a great concern there for protection of those who are vulnerable. And it's often to go back to one of the questions from earlier, it's often the psalms that cry out to the Lord for help, which reflect that sense of the importance of recognizing vulnerability and watching out for it. It's those who are oppressed who cry out to the Lord for help in their time of need.
We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, why is it that Jesus Christ at significant times in his ministry would quote from the Psalms and speak as if he was David incarnate?
Well, because he was David incarnate, all of the royal Psalms, which look forward to and speak about the king, are psalms that ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is great David's greater son. Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And that's the psalm that Jesus uses in response to the Pharisee and presents him with a conundrum that he's not able to respond to. So for the latter part of CJ's question, Jesus is David. He is the fulfillment of everything that was promised to David in the Davidic covenant, and he sits upon David's throne and will reign as the great king over the people of God. But to go back to the earlier part of CJ's question, someone has said, and I don't remember who it was, that the Psalms were Jesus' prayer book. He would have known them from his youth. And when he is portrayed to us as praying, he probably was praying many of the Psalms. For example, just When the Lord's Supper was instituted on the night in which he was betrayed, gospel writers tell us that they sang a hymn and then they went out. Well, that's probably Psalm 113. It's the last five or six hymns that are called the Egyptian Hallel. They were psalms that would have been sung at the Passover meal. And that Psalm 118, which looks forward to the Messiah, would have been the last psalm that would have been sung by Jesus and his disciples as they went out and he was on his way to Gethsemane to be arrested and then crucified. So the psalms are something that were not only on his lips but in his heart, something that he knew intimately, and his life reflects the reality of those psalms as he is presented to us in the gospel. So that's why he would cite the psalms. They're an intimate part of his life.
Now, one of the most powerful moments in the life of Christ where he is quoting a psalm involves his death before he dies, quoting from Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Can you explain that? Because I have heard Christians, even scholars, even those who are within the Reformed camp, disagree with each other on what exactly is going on here. What exactly is Christ intending to convey, not only to his Father, but to those who are hearing him and obviously for centuries reading him say that?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Chris, your statement is true, and whatever I say, someone will disagree with as well. we're in a conundrum, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, you know, number one, he's quoting the scripture, and he's quoting Psalm 22, which both at its beginning and its end speaks to us of Christ in his suffering and in his glory. Likewise, we have to remember sometimes as Christians we neglect to reckon with the fact that not only is our Lord God, not only is he deity, he's also true humanity. And in his humanity, he is able to express the depth of the emotions that you and I know, perhaps even more so because he was sinless. When we see him praying in the garden, he's praying, "Lord, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but yours be done." That's his humanity. He's facing the horror of the wrath of God before him. It's not the physical torture of the crucifixion. It's that he knows what he is about to encounter as he endures the wrath of God. And he asked the Lord to take it from him if it could be. That's his humanity speaking. And when he quotes from Psalm 22, verse 1, it's his humanity again, speaking to us of the fact that he senses that desertion, that he is enduring the horror of the wrath of God on behalf of his people. Now, not everybody takes that position. One of the books that I've been reading recently, I don't remember which one, suggested that as he was hanging upon the cross, he was simply quoting or rehearsing the Psalms in order. And at that point, he happened to come to Psalm 22:1, and that's what the gospel writers record for us. That's possible, but I think it's less likely. But it's a possible way to read what's happening in that text.
I heard that explanation for the first time very recently. I'd never heard it in my life before, just probably, I don't know, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it wouldn't be surprising at all if our Lord, while enduring the suffering of the cross, did recite scripture. In fact, you would expect that that's what he would do. And it wouldn't be surprising if he recited the book of Psalms to do so. All of that is a strong possibility, but to make that account for all of the reasons why the gospel writers put those words on his mouth at that point, I think undersells the fullness of what's happening in that moment.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break right now, and the midway break is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they air their own public service announcements and commercials while we air our globally heard commercials. They have to localize our program according to FCC regulations to their local area in Lake City, Florida. So please use this time wisely, this longer break. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And that just always remember, every time that you patronize a sponsor, whether you're buying their products, using their services, whether you are attending their worship services, if it's a church, whenever you do anything like that, or even just contact them to let them know that you thank them for advertising on Orange Ripens on Radio, when you do these things, you are helping to further ensure a longer life for Iron Trip and Zion Radio, because we rely upon our advertisers to exist. The advertising dollars that come in are required for us to remain on the air. So please do that as much as you can. Patronize our advertisers. Also use this time to write down questions on the Psalms for our guest, Dr. Jim Renahan, at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. You're going to be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Jim Renahan and preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merritt, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At the Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and before we return to Dr. Jim Renahan's discussion on preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation, we have some important announcements to make in regard to our sponsors and special events that they're having. On Saturday, September 7th at 6:30 p.m., the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is going to be hosting a debate between the pastor of that church, Pastor Bruce Bennett, and Roman Catholic apologist Matthew Luke Broderick. The theme is the office of Pope biblical? Is the office of Pope biblical? That's Saturday, September 7th. 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. It's absolutely free of charge. And for more details, you could call area code 631-806-0614. Area code 631-806-0614. Or you could go to their website, wotchurch.com, wotchurch.com. W-O-T stands for Word of Truth. That's wotchurch.com. And then coming up in December, I am going to be packing up my bags and heading back to Manhattan, my stomping grounds, my old stomping grounds, to the Foundations Conference, a conference being orchestrated and hosted by SermonAudio.com. The Foundations Conference always has a remarkable lineup of speakers. This is for men in ministry leadership, by the way. The venue is small. They can only hold less than 200 people, so they restrict registrations for men in ministry leadership only. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson is on the lineup. What a powerful preacher he is. Paul Washer, another amazingly powerful preacher of God. Someone that I'm certain my guest today, Dr. Jim Renahan, is familiar with, Reverend Jeff Thomas, who is a beloved figure amongst Reformed Christians, perhaps even more so Reformed Baptists. What a wonderful preacher, teacher, and author he is. A friend of mine, Reverend Armin Tomasian, who is not very well known yet, but I am predicting within the next 10 years he's going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians. Reverend Armin Tomasian is truly a powerful preacher with gifts and abilities far beyond his youth. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are on the lineup. I have never heard either of them preach, but since Sermon Audio selected them for this conference, I am certain that they must be very gifted preachers. So if you want to join me at this conference, it's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. And what better time to be spending a part, at least, of the Christmas season than in New York City? I just love going to New York City during the Christmas season. And, of course, this is only five and 6 days away from Christmas, December 19th and 20th. So if you'd like to join me, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and look for me there because, God willing, I will be there, and I would love to meet more of my Iron Trippin's Iron Radio listeners who attend. And also regain some friendships and reacquaint myself with folks that I've already met and so on. So please look for me and ask around. It's a fairly small venue, so it shouldn't be hard to find me. And keep in mind that it is a small venue, so if you want to get into the registration before they have no more room, go to thefoundationsconference.com today to register. Then in January, I'm packing up my bags again and heading down south this time, heading to Atlanta, Georgia, or more specifically, College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, going to the Georgia International Convention Center for the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. And the theme this January is Worship Matters. And they have, as always, a phenomenal and extraordinary lineup of speakers, including Kosti Hinn, who you heard Dr. James White mention earlier in his ad for the G3 Conference. Kosti Hinn, the nephew of the notorious heretic Benny Hinn, and Kosti doesn't mind me saying that because he spends much of his time outside of his own pulpit warning people about the deceptive, dangerous, deadly, and damning doctrines of the Word of Faith movement. And he is on this lineup. He is a Reformed Baptist pastor now. You heard James White say California. Well, he just very recently is now pastoring in Arizona. His church in California sent him out to pastor there in Arizona. So we'll be hearing more about exactly all the details about Kosti's new church in Arizona where he's pastoring very soon, because Kosti is going to be speaking on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio too. He's going to be one of our guests very soon. And that is going to be Monday the 26th of August. Kosti will be back on the show. Looking forward to it. Daryl Bernard Harrison, who is a new addition to John MacArthur's ministry at Grace to You. He's a really provocative and profound and biblically solid writer. David Miller, a really old school preacher that I just love to hear. Derek Thomas, who is definitely not a stranger to the majority of Reformed Christians. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is on the lineup. Dr. Joel Beakey, the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Once again, we have Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer on the lineup at this conference as well. and Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, and Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio is going to be on the lineup. Tom Askell, Dr. Tom Askell, the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Vody Baucom, another remarkable man of God. You've got to hear Vody Baucom whenever you get the opportunity to hear him preach, and more. And as you heard Dr. White say in the ad earlier, they have recently added John MacArthur to the lineup. And I'm so thrilled about that because I've never been in the same room when John MacArthur is preaching. So I'm looking forward to that first time experience for myself. I have interviewed Dr. MacArthur, but I've never been in the same room with him while preaching. So if you want to join me there, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth as well, in addition to just attending. If you have a business or a parachurch ministry or a special event that you want to promote to the body of Christ, they expect over 5,000 people there, as they draw every year, over 5,000 people. And I actually think with John MacArthur added to the lineup, they're going to have over 6,000 people. So look for me. I'm going to be manning my exhibitor's booth there. Perhaps you can get an exhibitor's booth right near mine. I would register for one before they run out of room, because as I said, with John MacArthur on the lineup, they're going to probably run out of room with the exhibitor's booths very quickly. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you look forward to the guests and the topics that we have on the show that very often are never heard anywhere else. Please, if you love the show, you don't want us to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You can also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen. I thank all of you who are doing that regularly, and I thank all of you who came to my rescue when we were in a very scary financial situation. Please help prevent those scary financial situations from occurring again by donating as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. At ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And remember, I never want anybody siphoning money away from the money that they are giving to their local church. Please never do that in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for my show is not a command of God, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money sitting around collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational purposes and coffee and ice cream, movies, and so on, well, please use some of that money to help us out if you don't want us to go away. If you want to advertise with us, we surely could use your advertising dollars, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe exactly as I believe, but you need to be promoting something at least compatible with what we believe in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. So please, I can help you. I'm not 100% sure I can find you a church, but I have helped many people all over the world find churches in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, either where they live or where they're going on vacation or for their family, friends, and loved ones who need a church. So please send me an email. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put in the subject line, I need a church or something like that. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. James Renahan. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And always never remain anonymous. Or should I say, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Dr. Renahan, When it comes to the Psalms, what do you think God is trying to first and foremost instill upon the hearts and minds of his followers with the truths that are breathed into those Psalms? We already said that they run the spectrum of emotion and experience, but what do you think could be described as the primary purpose and benefit and blessing from the Psalms?
An interesting question. Well, I guess that, you know, there are different answers to that when you read the various commentaries and works on the Psalms. Today, a lot of people are advocating the fact that the Psalms are to be viewed as a means to provide us wisdom to live. And of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's not in the Psalms, it's in the book of Proverbs. I guess to answer the question, I would say wisdom in light of who God is. They present to us over and over again the kingship of God, the sovereignty of God, the exclusive claim of God is over against the pagan deities of the nations around Israel. But they help us to understand that this God, this glorious, majestic, sovereign God who rules over all things, is a God who calls us to follow him, to depend upon him, to trust in him in every circumstance of life. And so they provide us with wisdom to be able to do so. And, of course, all of that looking forward to the coming of Christ and the forgiveness that we receive through him.
We have, let's see, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, do you believe that when the New Testament lists the Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we are to incorporate into our worship services, that this is actually a command that we must include the Psalms, or is it just a suggestion?
Well, let's take a look at that. I assume Ephesians and Colossians are what Ronald has in mind. The question, it's a legitimate question. I'm not sure that I understand exactly what Ronald is seeking to do. When Paul says in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, it certainly is a command format there. So I'm quite comfortable to say that the text of Scripture, especially as it's found in the book of Psalms, is what we ought to be singing in corporate worship. That Ronald's question didn't address the question of exclusive psalmody. I don't know if he intended to or not. So I'm going to answer it the way that it's expressed and say, yes, I do believe that it is a command for us to incorporate the singing of the Psalms into our public worship. All three of the Greek words that Paul uses here are words that are used in the Psalter, in the Greek translation of the Psalter, to describe what it's about. So I think that that's pretty clear.
Now, going to something that you just mentioned, our brethren who are exclusive psalmists, exclusive psalm singers, the best argument that I heard against that was, I believe the brother was in the RCUS, the Reformed Church in the United States. He said that if we become exclusive psalmody advocates, we are preventing the brothers and sisters in the church from singing praise to Jesus Christ by name. Of course, those who are singing exclusively the Psalms are praising Jesus Christ, but not by name. Do you find validity in that argument against exclusive psalmody?
Well, it certainly is true that that's the case. I would take it a step further and say that it prevents us from singing praise to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, as one of my friends says, he's very much drawn to the idea of exclusive psalmody, but then he can't sing what's called the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. And he knows that as Christians, we ought to be able to sing that. So that keeps him from going in that direction. He emphasizes the singing of psalms in his church, but I think rightly recognizes that as Christians, we are able explicitly to name the Son, the Father, and the Spirit in our singing. I would say likewise, a response to it is the exposition of several of the books of the New Testament, which argue, I think, pretty well that embedded in the New Testament we have some New Testament hymns. So that, for example, the statement in Philippians chapter 2 of the coming of Christ, or the last lines of 1 Timothy 3:16 and other places are expressions of New Testament hymns that we ought to be able to sing. So while I very much appreciate the emphasis of exclusive psalmody, I would agree with Ronald at this point.
Now, for some reason, I have a haunting feeling that I accidentally deleted a question before we went to the long break. Did I do that? Did we have a question that came in before the break? I thought that we did. Maybe I'm just imagining it.
I don't know.
No, I'm talking about one that I actually read. But you don't remember
me. I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, if you're listening, if that is indeed the case, if you would please resend your question, because sometimes things like this happen in live radio, and I apologize for that. Let's see here. We have a similar question, sort of. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, I know that you believe that we should, as a obedience to a command, sing the Psalms in our corporate worship services. But does that mean that every service must include them?
Well, I'm not the emperor of decisions to be made here. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't know if that's a command that says every time that we come together to worship, we ought to sing psalms. I think that they ought to be emphasized and present and active in the life of our churches. I guess I'd want to think about that one before I gave it an answer.
Yeah, it is a shame, though, that, you know, I've visited churches. They're typically the churches that are more dedicated to modern music. They are either mega churches or striving to be mega churches. And whenever I have visited them, they are never singing the Psalms in their worship. And even when I've asked sometimes, do you ever sing the Psalms? People will actually sometimes act as I'm asking a foolish question, like, why on earth would we need to do that? But this is a very sad thing when these God-breathed songs are being totally ignored and eliminated from worship, aren't they? Isn't it?
Yeah. And my answer is not meant to say I think we should substitute human psalms. I'm just in a blanket statement question, as was just read. Every time that we worship, well, maybe there are circumstances when we come to worship when it would be better for us to sing something out of the New Testament, for example, as opposed to a psalm. So it's just the nature of the question that makes it universal that gives me hesitation.
Okay, we are going to our final break. It's not going to be nearly as long as the last one, so don't be overly concerned. But if you want to send in a question, I would try to do so fairly quickly because we're almost out of time with the program. So send in the question to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Always remain or only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Dr. Jim Renahan and more on preaching the Psalms in a Christian congregation.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981.
1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually.
Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Core, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you've got a question, send it in now because we're running out of time rapidly at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we have a question from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby in Hartsdale, New York says, should we sing all of the Psalms in our worship services when some of them involve the killing of our enemies?
That's an interesting question as well, and it typically is one that you will find the commentators on the Psalms wrestling with. The thing that we have to remember is that the Psalms are the inspired word of God, and they predominantly are the prayers of the king who represents God. Thus, it's not a personal vengeance against enemies. It is rather that when we read, we sing, we pray these psalms, we are asking God to do what is right and just against those who are the enemies of the faith. You know, one of the most notorious of these that's often cited is Psalm 137, which ends with the statement about throwing the children onto the rocks so that they would die. And that people don't often, or sometimes they fail to understand what's going on in that psalm. It begins with the taunts that are coming from the pagans to sing the songs of Zion, and the believers there in exile are weeping. It's a sense of, your God is nothing. Here you are, our captives. Sing your songs of your God. They're meaningless. They're not asking to hear them because they're beautiful. They're asking to hear them because they want to taunt the Jews about the fact that their God is powerless, or so they perceive to be. And then the believers respond with those startling words about bringing judgment upon the Babylonians. It's not just any children, any infants, but rather it is the children of the dynasty, the rulers of Babylon. It's a plea to God to end the Babylonian dynasty so that the people of God can be set free. So, you know, when we look more closely at some of these psalms and understand the purpose for which they have been written in that sense, yes, I do think that it's appropriate to sing them. It's just that those who are leading the singing need to help the people of God understand what's going on in the psalms when they call upon them to join with them in singing those psalms. Good question.
And we have an anonymous listener who says, do you have any specific counsel on how to use the Psalms most effectively to evangelize our Jewish friends and neighbors?
Well, that's also an interesting question. Specific counsel. Well, you know, only the Holy Spirit is able to open the eyes of unbelievers to see the truth of the gospel. And I would say we need to go into conversations with our Jewish neighbors or with our Gentile neighbors with that sense of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I think that it might be helpful to suggest to them that the Psalms are deeply woven into the New Testament, and the writers of the New Testament view themselves as interpreters of the Psalms, and they see there Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. That might be a helpful way to speak to
We have, let's see, we have another anonymous listener. Not sure why this question is anonymous, but the listener says, I think that, oh, now I see why, now I see why the listener is anonymous. I am bothered by the fact that my pastor dwells, it seems, too much on the Old Testament when we are hearing him preach and when we are studying the Word of God. Is there a danger in that?
Well, I don't know specifically, and I'm very hesitant to comment on that specific situation. But I would say that we need to be whole Bible Christians. And when the, for example, I quoted a long time ago this afternoon Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He has in mind the Old Testament. You have to remember that while the New Testament was being written, the predominant text that was available to Christians in their churches was the Old Testament. That's what they had as the scriptures. And throughout that period from, oh, let's say 30 to whenever the last book of the New Testament was written, even if you give the latest date to the book of Revelation, to 90 AD, we're still talking about a period of 60 years. During that period, most of the Christian congregations primarily would have had access to the books that we call the Old Testament rather than the books of the New Testament. So I don't think that there's a danger in emphasizing the Old Testament so long as the Old Testament is viewed in the light of the coming of Christ and what happens in the fulfillment of all of the anticipation and prophecies and promises that were given to believers under the Old Covenant.
Well, I assume you would think, though, that if for some strange reason a pastor was exclusively preaching from the Old Testament, he might be, though, going through some kind of a long expository series, and I'm not sure how long this person has been a member of their church, but
I would agree with you. You know, what I like to suggest to my students is that assuming their church has two services on the Lord's Day, that they give one to the New Testament, one to the Old Testament, to balance things out.
Well, I want to make sure that you have at least 4 or 5 minutes to summarize the things that you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding the Psalms today.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Thank you to all the listeners for these really thought-provoking questions. I'm really pleased with them. One thing that I wanted to do is give a suggestion for some help that people might benefit from if they're interested in the Psalms, and I hope that they are. I think that we need a recovery of the Psalms in our churches. Christians need to read them, we need to preach on them, we need to sing them. I think the greatest resource, apart from the Bible, that's available to us is Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David. And I would urge all of your listeners to get hold of a copy of that. It is just a brilliant piece of work broken up into all kinds of different insightful views of each of the Psalms. He treats all 150. He includes an exposition of the Psalm, outlines for preachers. He has quotes from the history of the church that help readers to see how other Christians have viewed the Psalms. It's a gold mine, or a treasury, a real treasury. Full of jewels, precious jewels, just all kinds of blessings. And if you don't get anything else, get Spurgeon's Treasury of David, and you'll find that to be very helpful. A couple of other books that I think are very useful. My good friend, Dr. Robert Godfrey, through Ligonier Ministries, has published a book called Learning to Love the Psalms. He spends the early part of the book dealing with a variety of questions in chapters that are only 3 or 4 pages long that deal with things like the attraction of the Psalms, the difficulty with the Psalms, recurring themes in the Psalms, etc. And then he works his way through the 5 books of Psalms. We haven't even mentioned the fact that the book of Psalms is divided up into 5 parts. which mirror the five books of Moses. He works his way through the five books and comments on many of the Psalms. It's a very useful book. And I learned when I was at Westminster Seminary that it's always worth going to hear Dr. Godfrey preach. And many of the times that he would preach from the book of Psalms. So I want to recommend that to your listeners. And then another book that I mentioned a little while ago that I think is very helpful, Richard Belcher's book, The Messiah and the Psalms, Preaching Christ from All the Psalms. He basically uses the same method as Dr. Godfrey, several introductory chapters that deal about deal with questions about how to approach the Psalms and how we view them. And then he works his way through many of the Psalms and shows how they point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Very useful book. Now, if students would like to go a little bit deeper into the book of Psalms, a couple of more, if you don't mind me mentioning them. Palmer Robertson, I'm sure many of your listeners have heard his name before, published a book that I'm holding in my hand right now. It's called The Flow of the Psalms. It's a very insightful treatment of the entire book of Psalms, arguing that there is a context to be understood in the Psalms. You know, a lot of times we read them and we think about them as just 150 poems. But Dr. Robertson and many others have, I think, demonstrated very well that there is a context, there's an order, there's a purpose to the gathering, the collection of the Psalms. And this is a very insightful book that opens up for us the nature of that collection. There's a couple more that I could mention, but I know that you're running out of time and I don't want to take up your time. Let me just say that I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about the Psalms with you, Chris. But I hope that all of us are reminded of Christ and his wonder and his glory as we think about the fact that he prayed the book of Psalms, he sang the Psalms, they were in his mind, they were on his heart, they were on his lips. And for that reason, we ought to love the Psalms just as our Lord did. So may he be glorified in all that that we say and do and all we think about the Psalms.
Praise God. Oh, thank you so much for always being such an educational and edifying and informative guest, Dr. Jim Renahan. And I want to make sure, again, that our listeners have all of the contact information that they need to get a hold of you, to get a hold of the IRBS Theological Seminary. Once again, the website is irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org. And do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
Well, you know, I wanted to mention, with a little bit of help from you, we began a podcast. We've put out 6 episodes. We do 1 a week. And some of your listeners might be interested in those. And they can be found from our Facebook page. Now, I don't do Facebook myself. I've never had a Facebook page. But if they look for Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies on Facebook, they'll be able to find it. And they can then find the links to our podcasts. We did 2 of them on the Book of Psalms recently. So that might be a place where some of your listeners would like to go. And they can contact us through that Facebook page as well.
Great. And folks, if you care to, write down some information about tomorrow's show that you might want to alert your pastors about especially. We are interviewing for the first time Harold L. Sankbile, and I am probably butchering his name, but he has written a new book called The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart. The foreword's by Dr. Michael Horton, and there are commendations by a number of folks, including my friend Dr. Michael A.G. Haken and Timothy George and others. So have them tune in tomorrow, especially if they're pastors, because this book, A Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart, is the subtitle. And we are giving away free copies of the book to the first 5 people who submit questions on the air. So write that down so that you can tell your pastor and also anybody that you know who happens to be a pastor who might want to tune in. I want to thank Dr. Renahan again for being our guest today. I want to thank all of our listeners, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.